Pray for you, brother Terry. Love you. Very thankful for the sweet prayer. Ask continued interest in your prayers as I stand before you tonight. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to read to you from the Old Testament tonight. A couple verses found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. I'd like to read verses 16 and 17 of Jeremiah, chapter 6, in your hearing. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He came before the children of Israel and declared unto them the truth that was given to them by the Lord. And he was told of the Lord before he gave them that truth that they would not hear or heed his teachings. But he was duty bound to declare what the Lord gave to him to give to them. And he was a faithful servant of the Lord, a faithful prophet. We read here of the words of Jeremiah in this particular passage to the children of Israel. And even in this case, we see that they heard those words, but they didn't heed them. And I want us to understand tonight that God's children do not always heed the words of the Lord. There are some things that God's children will always do. God's children will always hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ saying unto them to live. They do not refuse that eternal, effectual call that comes from God, wherein he calls them from death to life. They don't refuse that because they're dead, and that's an effectual calling. And that work of grace that's effectual is not in part in any way whatsoever in their control. It's in the work of Almighty God. It's what God does in them. In that sense, they all come to him, all that he calls upon. They come to him in regeneration. They're born of his Spirit. But we can look in our own lives as God's children and see there are times as God's children, we don't do everything the Lord has told us to do. We're not always obedient. Tonight, if what's on my mind continues to stay on my mind, I want to talk about us being obedient. I want to talk about us following the Lord and trying to do that more closely. And the instruction that comes from God's Word for us to do that. Now, my preaching that tonight and you hearing that doesn't just settle that. That's not something that we just talk about and say, okay, that's good. We talked about that and we've covered that. It's a matter of us doing what the Lord has told us to do. Not only hearing his word, but being doers of his word. Not only hearing the instruction, but heeding the instruction. And God suffers his children at times to walk in rebellion. Not to the sense that they will be eternally cast from him, because we know that those whom he died for, every one of them, without the loss of one, will be with him in heaven in immortal glory. And there's nothing, and I hope we can point that out from the scripture tonight to let you know there's nothing that you can do to either add to that work or take from that work. It's what God has done. And the scripture even says that God doeth it, whatsoever God doeth, it's the perfect works of God, whatsoever God doeth is perfect. You can't add to it, you can't take from it, for God doeth it that men should fear before him. But there is a responsibility on the part of a little child of God to walk in obedience to the Lord. And there's a responsibility on our part tonight that God has given to us as his children. Not to make ourselves the children of God, not to make ourselves the children of the day or the children of the light. God has done that. But as the children of the day and as the children of the light, we're to walk in the day. We're to walk in the light. And we're to do that in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. And we're to let our light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, have you always done that? That question can easily be answered by all of us. No, I have not. So it's absolutely certain, and our own experience and the Word of God teaches, that none of us do that completely. And so when the Lord calls us into life, He doesn't automatically force us into complete, absolute obedience. He requires of us obedience unto Him, and we are to walk in obedience. He's not said it's okay not to, but He's commanded us to, but He suffers us. According to His own good pleasure, He suffers us to walk outside of complete obedience unto God. He holds us accountable. We tonight are accountable unto God. Isn't that good? I'm glad we're accountable unto a loving, merciful God. But I want to be a faithful watchman, and I want to blow the trumpet. I want to make the joyful sound. I want to let God's children know that each and every one of us stand accountable to the judge, to the God of heaven, who is our ultimate judge. And I believe we stand in that judgment every day. Right now, tonight, we're standing in that judgment. We have to answer to Him. And He knows us better than anybody else. You could easily fool me. And if that's what you're doing, don't tell me, because I'd rather not know it. But you could fool me, and I could fool you. I could stand before you tonight and fool you. I could do that. Ministers have done that in the past. But you never fool the Lord. And the Lord knows our hearts. The Lord knows us inside and out. And tonight, we're answerable unto Him. And if we will keep that in our minds, as we should and ought, remember that the Lord is at hand. Remember that He's ever present. That He's nowhere absent. Not to be afraid of Him. He's not there to do you harm. He's there to do you good. He's there to help you. He's there to strengthen you. He's there to give you everything that you need, and has done that, and gives you the ability, gives you His Word, gives us all of these things, and yet what He has required of us, God will not necessarily do those things for us. There sometimes His grace intervenes in spite of us, but He will not necessarily do for us that which He's told us to do and that He's given us the ability to do. And our duty tonight is to encourage one another to be about our Father's business. And if we'll do that, we'll be happier. We'll have more peace. We'll have more rest. We'll have more contentment. Our homes will be stronger. Our families will be, there'll be less problems. It doesn't mean the outward conflicts of this world and troubles of this world won't just really come at you. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And He who's begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And as we look to Him and lean upon Him, there's a sense in which we can grow closer, draw nearer to where when we sang those hymns about when I come to the end of the day, may I be able to say, I've walked with God today. And I hope and pray tonight as we leave here, we can say, we've walked with the Lord tonight. We walk with the Lord in this meeting. And as we go out the door, we're looking for Him wherever we go, that He'll walk with us and be with us. Here's a thus saith the Lord. The Jeremiah writes in verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Verse 17 says, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. And here we have from Scripture where God's, and I believe this is to be the children of Israel, God's people, those in the Old Testament, that He had declared these words to, and those as God's children said, we will not hearken. They said, we will not walk therein. Now, some might say, well, they can't be God's children and say that. Well, I ask you, have there been times in your actions that you have made that statement? Even if you haven't said it in your words, has there been times that you've said that? I know there have been times that the truth was preached to me and I heard the truth, but it was contrary to my old flesh. And I said, well, you know, that sounds good, but I don't think that'll work for me. And what I'm really saying when I say that is I'm saying, Lord, I think my way is better than your way. That's a silly statement too, isn't it, tonight? For any of us to think his way is less productive. His way is not as good. His way is insufficient. When we have been taught in His Word that He cannot fail, we fail all the time. Our way will always fail. The wise man Solomon in the book of Proverbs, who, by the way, was blessed of God with a wisdom above any man on the face of the earth save the Lord Jesus Christ. And with all that wisdom, he was made to say, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death," or the way of destruction. And he lays out very clearly that our ways and his ways are different. Isaiah says it this way. He says, "Our ways and our thoughts, as high as the heavens are above the earth, his ways and thoughts are above our ways and thoughts." So tonight, you and I need to know his ways. Now, one thing we need to know is it's important to know there's a way. And there's important to strive to enter in that way. Over in the book of Matthew, and I got several scriptures tonight. I just have had lots of thoughts today, thank the Lord, and they've kind of stayed with me. But in Matthew chapter 7, we find a verse there that talks about a broad way and a straight and narrow way. And that's important for us. He said in verse 13 of Matthew 7, this is the Sermon on the Mount where he's speaking to his disciples. He said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Verse 14 of Matthew 7 says, "Because straight," now that word straight means narrow, "straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." This is not teaching that man is left to his own way to try to find eternal life or miss eternal destruction. It's talking about God's little children, and it's also talking about the men of this world, that there is a broad way, and if you just get up in the morning and you don't look for that straight and narrow way, you just get up and start walking in the world, going the ways of the world, and just get up and let life happen. You know, sometimes that's the way you and I are living. We're just kind of oblivious to what's going on. At least I am. I don't want to suppose that you are. But there are some days I get up and I, instead of thinking about my need to strive to enter at the straight gate, that narrow way, where I want to walk right and want to make sure I'm walking right, where I'm mindful of it, where I recognize this is my responsibility, I just kind of like let life happen, you know. And the next thing you know, I'm right in the midst of the broad way, and I'm right in there with this old dead world. I'm living among the dead. I'm not dead because I've been made alive, but I'm asleep. "And awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." That's what Ephesians says. He didn't say you were dead. You've been born of the Spirit and you're alive, but you're living like you're dead. What that mean? What does that mean? That means as a little child of God, you look like the world, you act like the world, you're talking like the world, you smell like the world, you behave like the world, you respond like the world responds. Instead of being a child of the day in the sense you are a child of the day, but instead of walking as a child of the day, you're just kind of walking in the broad way. I'm just in the broad because I haven't strived to enter in at the straight gate. It is important for us tonight to hear what the Word of God says to us. It's also important not only to be hearers of His Word, but to be doers of His Word. It's important for us to be each day focused on what is it that I'm supposed to do today to walk in the will and the way that God is guiding me and leading me. And do you believe that the Lord leads us every day? I know you believe that. And do you believe every day has a purpose? Absolutely, I wouldn't be breathing. If I'm breathing air, the Lord has a reason for me to be here. And if I'm alive, the Lord has a reason for my life. And I have a duty and a responsibility to the life giver, the one who's given me life, to live that way as meaningful and as purposeful as I can in order to please Him. And He laid out in His Word how I'm supposed to do that. But if I just get up and start walking through life without even being mindful of that, you're not going to find that straight, narrow way that way. You're just going to plop yourself right in the broad way. And what does that lead to? It leads to destruction. Now, for the little child of God, it doesn't lead to your eternal destruction. Because there was a Savior who reached down and saved you to the uttermost. and He is your Savior, and He's paid your sin debt, and the wrath of God was poured out upon Him, and you're no longer subject to His wrath, but rather a recipient of His grace. But how much more important does that mean that we ought to be doing? How much do we owe Him that we ought to be living in a way to honor and praise Him and glorify Him? And we can have destruction come in our lives, can't we? You can have. I've seen homes destroyed, haven't you? Because people would refuse. They said they heard the way, but they said we will walk, not walk therein. I've seen people who knew the truth walk away from the truth because they said, we will not walk therein. And they went another course, but they didn't go, listen, if a man can go the other course and have no problem with it, I have a fearful concern about his eternal welfare, because judgment will happen. And if it doesn't happen in this world, it will certainly happen when he leaves this world. You can be sure of this, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, so shall he also reap. And if he sows to the flesh, he'll of the flesh reap corruption. And there will be judgment. God, you won't just get by. You can get by the judges of this world, but you won't get by the judge of all judges. But God's little children answer to Him right here. And there is timely destruction, as there was for the Jews, as there was for God, or have been for God's children. Many, I believe, of God's little children did not enter into the promised land, but died because of rebellion in the wilderness. I don't believe they lost their eternal home. If they did, Moses is in trouble, because he didn't get into the promised land, even the great prophet Moses. But we know he got to heaven because he was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. We know, we don't have to ask, you know, we don't have to question whether Moses is in heaven, and because he was there speaking with Elijah and Jesus and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw him and they saw Moses. I don't know how they knew it was Moses, but God showed it. Well, I do know God showed them it was Moses. And we have that in God's Word. Isn't that good? We have God's Word. And we know that. But there is a destruction that occurs here. He said to strive to enter into the straight gate. He says there are many that are in the broad way. I believe there are many of God's children tonight. I believe from time to time you and I are found in the broad way. Probably sometimes more than we want to think about it. I want us not to be in that broad way, but rather in that straight and narrow way. And we find that way by the grace of Almighty God. Now, by the way, if God doesn't begin this work, you'll never be concerned about it. You won't be worried about it at all. You won't be burdened about it. You won't have any concern about it. Until you are made a child of the day, you're not worried about being in the day. But as a child of the day, you're meant to live in the day, live in the light, and not walk in the darkness. And what this passage is saying is, stand ye in the ways, which tonight I want us to recognize. Don't just go any old way. There is a way to go. We believe that tonight. There's a way that we're to walk. Stand ye in the ways and see. That means to look where you're walking. Look where you look. Think about what you're saying. Think about what you're how you're behaving. Think how it affects the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Think how it affects the testimony of the Lord's church. Think what our life is in a way of reflection as a little child of God and all that the Lord has done for us. We don't want to do anything, as we've said many times before, to bring any reproach against our family name. I'll tell you, our family name doesn't mean anything compared to what the name of our spiritual family is, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to want to walk in a way that gives honor and glory and praise unto God our Father and our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, and not in any way cause to grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve the Lord. We want to walk pleasing to the Lord. He says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. That means look around and ask for the old paths. The old paths. Now, how in the world are we going to find the old paths? And the old paths, by the way, are not just last 10 years, what we did the last 10 years, or the last 100 years, or the last 200 years. We got to get a whole lot older than that. The old paths are those, is that which is written in God's Word. It is the Word of God. It is the path. His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We are to follow His Word. We are to Follow what the teachings of God's Word says. We are to have, as He says here, thus saith the Lord. If Jeremiah had just been saying it, wouldn't be very important. And if I was just saying it tonight, it wouldn't be very important. But as I speak to you from what God's Word has says, I say unto you, when God said to Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord, and Jeremiah told the people, thus saith the Lord, and then the Lord blesses the ministers of this day to say unto you, thus saith the Lord, and you get it, a thus saith the Lord, it's a thus saith the Lord. And those are the old paths. Those are the ways that we're to go. We just can't pick up any old way and go any old direction and do it any old way. That's going our ways or the ways of some other man, which is a path that leads to destruction. Over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, there's a passage of Scripture that I've kind of seen a relationship with. I hope and pray that you see that as we've looked at that passage before. Where it talks a little bit, I've already talked about that, but this is a Scripture that's been kind of on my mind that runs in line with what's in the Old Testament. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5, he says this, "Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day." Now, how in the world did we get to be the children of the light and the children of the day? Well, I can't make you a child of light, and you can't make me a child of light. It takes the Lord to make His children, and I'm glad it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are to serve the Lord. If you're alive today and you've been made light in the Lord, you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. It is the Lord who has done that. It's the work of Almighty God. And if the Lord has given you any light, if you are a child of the day and a child of light, which really means a little child of God, you've been born of the Spirit, you've been regenerated. You have a love for things you once hated and a hatred for things you once loved. You have a burden in you to want and a desire to be better, to be more like Him, to please Him. You see in your flesh there that dwells in you. You say, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing, and I desire to do good. But even when I would do good, you also are able to see there's evil present with you." And you're able to say with the Apostle Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who shall save me from the body of this death?" But you're also able to answer with the Apostle Paul, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And as a child of the day, your trust is in Him for your eternal salvation. Your trust is in Him for your timely, day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment deliverance. You want to have faith not only about that which is to come in eternity, but you want to have faith, and you need that faith every day to put it on and wear it and exercise it so that you'll be able to get through this moment, through this sermon, as well as after you leave here. So that I don't just become like they were, where I heard it, and I said amen, and walked out the door and said, "But I ain't doing that. We will not walk therein." And what we'll have is the judgment that fell on the brethren in Jeremiah's day, that same kind of timely judgment can fall on God's little children in this day. And I'm not talking necessarily about some natural thing. You may be blessed to have more money. I know some people that have so much money it's ruined them. And they have more problems with every. You may have health that, you know, sometimes you say, "Well, we're talking about you being healthy and wealthy." This world is wrapped up with healthy, wealthy, sick followers. They are God's little children, but they're wrapped up on their natural health and their natural wealth, and they equate God's blessing with everything natural. And the real blessings can come to you when you're just poor and your body's broken down and everything seems to be falling apart and folks will be looking at you and feeling sorry for you, but you have peace within. Listen, if you've got peace within, there is nothing you can... there's not enough money in this world to give you that rest that comes from the Lord and that peace. And that's found in the straight and the narrow way. And there are few that find that. And God's little children have been blessed. We've been shown the way. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And we've been shown and told to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What these verses are telling us is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light, who is the day, and we're to be the children of the light, children of the day, and we want to walk in the light, we want to walk in the day. And if you just take it for granted, you're right in the Broadway. And so we're to strive to enter in at the straight gate and the narrow way. He says, "Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. Now that's a fact. He didn't say you did this to get to be the children of light. He didn't say you get. He's just stating the fact. I believe tonight I'm talking to you as God's little children. If I'm preaching the gospel, and it is truly the gospel, the only one who has the ear to hear the gospel, and the eye to see the gospel, and the heart to understand the gospel, is the little child of God, who is already, not because I preach the gospel to them and make them one, but who is already a child of the day and a child of the light. Otherwise, what I'm saying to you will be nothing but complete foolishness. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. He has to be first born again, created by Almighty God, and he will do that for each one and every one of his children, make them new creatures in Christ. And then, as children of the light and children of the day, he says this to us, we are not of the night nor of the darkness. And what that really tells me is this world is not my home. I'm here and I'm occupying and I've got to be here for a while, but this is a low ground of sin and sorrow at its very best, and I'm going to have things that try to lead me astray, that go wrong, that are going to be pulling against me, and I am in a wrestling match. This walk as a little child of God is not just a little battle, it is a wrestling match. And if you've ever watched a wrestling match, they don't rest in a wrestling match. One thing you got to have in a wrestling match is you got to have some endurance. I've seen some people in wrestling matches that do pretty good the first round and get tore up on the second round because they run out of juice. And a little child of God needs to remember this is, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and high places. And all of those things it tells us in Ephesians that we have, and that's why we're given the armor of God. We're given the ability of God by Almighty God so that we can be triumphant in this wrestling match. But we're told to put on the whole armor of God in order to do that. And if we fail to put on that armor, if we fail, just take it for granted and get up and go on through our lives without doing what the Lord has told us, and we don't put on all that He's given us to wear, then when you go into that match, you're going to be overcome. And not eternally, not where you lose your eternal life. Oh, I'm so thankful that our eternal life is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want God's little children also to walk in the strength and in the ability and the power of His might. He said this, be strong in the Lord. Isn't that good? You can't be strong in yourself. Somebody said, I used to tell Leah, even when she would be out running, and when she ran track, which was a sight to see, when she was out running track, she'd run out of juice, and she'd just run around that track, and every once in a while she'd just look up at me and tears be running down her eyes, and she'd go around one more lap, and I'd think, oh, she'd got two more laps to go, and I'd think, oh, we're going to make it through this. And so finally she came up on the hill, and I looked at her and I just said, you're going to have to man up, girl. You either got to quit, You got to quit crying. You got to do one or the other. You got to just man up. But that message, if you don't have any strength, doesn't mean any. It doesn't cut it. It doesn't mean anything. Listen, if you and I had to get through this world on our own, if I had to get through this day, if I had to get through my life, if I had to get through the walk that I have in front of me, if I'd have had to make this on my own, this journey on my own, there wouldn't have been strength enough for me to do that. He didn't say be strong in yourself. He didn't say just man up. He said be strong in the Lord, right? And in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord in the power of His might, because He's a mighty God. And He's able to strengthen you to be able to endure things that you never dreamed that you'd be able to handle in your life. I dare say if you look at your life right now, you got that truth all over it, don't you? Where the Lord has applied to you what you didn't have yourself, that has brought you to the place that you are today, that if He'd have just left you on your own and in your own ability, what a mess we would be. Hymn writer said it this way, it's grace that's brought us safe thus far, it's grace that's going to lead us on. And His grace is not only eternal grace, it is eternal, but that means in time too. Get this, it's in time. I need His grace every day. I need grace for preaching right now. You need grace for hearing. We need grace to be brethren and loving one another as we ought to. When we go into our conference meeting, we're going to need grace for us to get along and to approach the things that we are supposed to approach in a business way, the way it ought to be. When we go out in the door and we start living in this world and you get bombarded with everything, we need grace to put into practice what we learned. Otherwise, we just have it in our head and we just kind of say we will not walk therein. God forbid that would be the case with any of us tonight and tomorrow and as we go along in our life. He says, you're all children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. In other words, this world is not your home. And thanks be to God, we're not of the night, we're not of the darkness. Therefore, he says, there's a reason now. Therefore, let us not sleep. Okay? I think that's when he says, stand in the ways and see. That means don't be asleep. You know, when you're standing in the ways and seeing, you're not asleep. When you're asleep, you're oblivious to everything that's going wrong. You're just going along, sleep. And God's little children don't die, but they do fall asleep from time to time. And when we're asleep, well, somebody needs to wake us up. And that's what preachers are called to do. You blow the trumpet and you wake up God's children. Wake thou that sleepest. And it's high time for us to wake up. Listen, we're living... And the Bible is full with these passages for God's little children to put on their beautiful garments and to walk not as children of the night and of the darkness, but of the day. He says, let us not sleep as do others. There are some that sleep. Sometimes we're among them. But let us watch and be sober. So tonight, the message is to watch and be sober. What? Stand in the ways and what? See. Now what does that mean? That's watch. I want to watch. And I want to be sober. And I don't want to just go anyway. If I got roads going all directions, I want the right road. I want to be on the right road. And I need to be mindful. There's right roads and there are wrong roads. And we're not to stand over in Psalms 1, that first psalm. And if I can get there. Psalm 1. He said, blessed is the man that standeth not. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And get this, if you're not doing any of those things tonight, you're blessed. And it isn't because you didn't do them that you're blessed. You're blessed if you're not doing them. If you're not in those places tonight, I'm thankful you're here. Of all the places you could be, I'm thankful you're right here at Happy Creek. I'm thankful that you're desiring. I believe you're praying for me. I believe you've prayed for the meeting. I believe that you're concerned that our little church would prosper and be what it's supposed to be. I believe every member is a part of your concern, that they're in your prayers and that they're in your thoughts, and you want to see them going in the right way and walking in a way pleasing unto God. You don't want to just see it in your family, but in every member that we have. When we have one going astray, it worries us and it concerns us. And we ought to be praying for them and remembering them. But if there's any of you that way, I want you to know the reason you're that way is because God worked something in you that you didn't do. There's no place for us to pat ourselves on the back. Blessed is the man. And it's important. His delight is in the Lord. Our delight tonight ought to be in the Lord. And that man, get back over there, that man is like it says he's like, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, what is the old path? In his what? In his law doth he what? Meditate day and night. In his law he meditates. Meditation in this world means empty your mind. This is to the world, and this is of the darkness, by the way. It's not of the light, and it's not of the day. The meditation in this world just says, empty your mind, clear it of all thoughts, and don't have anything in it. I've often said that's just the devil's playground. You get an empty mind, you just leave it there long enough, and the devil will fill your mind with all kinds of thoughts. Is that standing in the ways and see and asking for the old path? Is that what it says? No. And when he says meditate, does he say empty your mind and don't think anything? No, he says meditate what? In his law. And I believe that's what's written in God's Word, his law. As a matter of fact, we have over in Isaiah, chapter 8, he says this. He says, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. This is verse 13 of Isaiah 8. When they say, they shall say unto you, who is saying that? Stand in the ways and see. There'll be some over here that says, I got some inside things. I got some I got some inside tracks. I got some spirits that'll tell you some things you really need to know. And if you'll inquire of them, they'll give you all kinds of information. You know, there are people tonight who believe they get information from dead people. There are people tonight who believe they get information from, you know, supposedly the other side, and they're communicating with the dead. There are some people who believe they go to this God and get information. Some go to that God and get information. Some go to gods in general and get information. Some of them think they can look at the sky and watch the stars, and that will give them information about how to live their life and how to walk. I want you to know those things are the way of darkness. They are the way of the night. They are not of the light and of the day, because they're not of God's Word. We've got God, and if you believe God's Word, you don't have a choice about that. It lays it out to you. Somebody said, well, maybe I like God's Word in those ways. Well, if you like God's Word, you can't like those ways, because God's Word says those ways are wrong. And our world is filled with those ways. And they'll sneak in. You know, they got commercials. You can get on there, just call us up, and we'll tell you what you need to do about this. You got some important decisions, and it's sad how many people fall and can fall into that trap. Sometimes we might think, well, it won't hurt me. Just let me dabble with that a little bit. Next thing you know, you dabble with it. Matter of fact, he said, don't dabble with it at all. You're to have no other God before you. Listen, what we're to do is seek the Lord and seek His. You can pray if you've got a problem, and you pray about it. You look to the Lord and you ask Him for the answer. And listen, any answer you get other than from the Lord, it's not going to be the right answer. But every answer you get from the Lord, it's going to be the correct answer. And it will be confirmed by His Word. His Word truly furnishes us. So you'll have a scripture. You'll have a thus saith the Lord for everything that you stand in need of in this life. As you look to the Lord, He's able to supply that. And you don't run anyway. Don't get just caught in a trap. Don't run anyway unless you got a thus saith the Lord for it. You have a thus saith. If a church would operate on that principle, she wouldn't go astray. And if you and I would operate on that principle in our life, it would be of a great benefit to us. And more importantly than anything, it glorifies God. But it's the best way to live, isn't it? Following the Lord. It's the best way. It's a way of peace. It's not going to be the most popular place in town, you know, because there's a lot of people going all kinds of ways. Let me read what this says. It says, and I love the way the Word speaks. It says in verse 19 of Isaiah 8, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and wizards that peep. And wizards that peep and that mutter. Wizards that peep and mutter. This world is full of wizards that peep and mutter. And should not a people, I love this question, should not a people seek unto their God? Now, who's it talking about? God's people. Because it says their God. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? In other words, do we get our advice and our counsel from the dead? Either the dead corporally, which you cannot communicate with them anyway. They're just wizards. They're just trickery. It's the wiles of the devil. He said for us to battle against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles means trickery, and literally it means lying in wait to deceive you. You know, the devil is just out there looking for a place for you to mess up. And he said, seek, when they say that unto you, and I love verse 20. It says, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, how much light's in them? Somebody said, well, they got a little bit of light. They may not all be all. I'm telling you, there's no light in them. And if the light that's in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Isn't that what the word says? So what light are we following? Somebody said, I'm following the light. Well, be sure it's the right light. Because if that light is darkness, there is no light. And how do I know if it's light? If a preacher's preaching, how do I know if it's light? If someone's talking to me, how do I know whether it's light? He says, to the law and to the testimony. It's written in God's Word. If they speak not according to this Word, it is because there is no light in them. That's pretty plain. That's pretty clear. And so what does that mean? For me to have a light, I'm going to need His Word. And I'm going to need to study His Word. I'm going to need to search His Word. I'm going to need to hear His Word preached. I'm going to need to sing His Word. I'm going to need to be a part of the church where His Word is brought forth. I need to follow Him if I'm going to be a child of the day. And that means you're already a child of the day, but if I'm going to walk as a child of the day, I better get that language correct. Doing this doesn't make you a child of the day, but if you're a child of the day, you should be walking in the day. You shouldn't be walking in the night. Does that make sense? Hope so. Okay. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So, what am I saying tonight? Watch and be sober. How often do I watch? Start right now. And when do you stop? Well, when you die. You just keep watching. So, well, that sounds hard. It's a wrestling match. It is. In a sense, it's hard. And yet, it's not hard. In yourself, it's hard. But in Him. And when you turn it over to Him, it's not hard. As a matter of fact, you want to find what's hard. As a little child of the day trying to walk in the night and in the darkness, that's what's hard. That's when it gets difficult. God's little children who get... When did the prodigal son get in trouble? When he was at home? No. It was when he was away from home. And when he got away from home, though he had some of the blessings from home, they soon left. And those were soon gone. And he was out there all by himself. And you know what that little fella said? I can't wait to get home. He said, I have the servants at my father's house are having so much better than I am. And oh, if I can just get back home. When he left home, he said, I'm so good, I can make it on my own. And just give me what's coming to me and let me get out of here. And when it's time to go back home, he said, oh, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me like one of thy hired servants so that I can come back and be at the father's house. Do you see how God worked in that situation? And when that dear young man got back to home, the Lord didn't say, well, you've been gone, there's nothing for you. He said, oh, bring the ring and put it on his finger. Bring the shoes and put them on his feet. Bring the best robe and put it on. You see, you and I, as children of the day, as children of the light, as sons of the King, have a ring to wear and shoes to wear and a robe to wear and a fatted calf to partake of. We have the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ provided unto us. We find that, but you don't find it out in the world. You find it at the Father's house. You find it in fellowship with Him. He says, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, sober, we usually remember that man's not drunk, he's sober. He's either sober or he's drunk. Well, there's a lot of things to get drunk on in this world. A man can get drunk on money. A man can get drunk on fame. A man can get drunk on your job. You can get drunk on your family. You can get intoxicated. A man can get drunk on food. I know that personally. A man can get drunk. A man can get so wrapped up in this world that he loses his spiritual mind in a sense where he's not focused on the things of God and he's thinking about the world. He comes into the church house, sits down on the bench, and his mind is somewhere else. He's not sober. He says, watch and be sober. And being sober is remember what's important and be mindful of that and enjoy the blessings of the world, but don't get intoxicated on them. You know, it's good to have food. Don't eat too much of it. It's okay. It's okay to enjoy the blessings of this world. It's okay to have this or that. But don't get intoxicated with that. Be sober. Remember, you're just passing through. If part of the old path, seek the old path, wherein is the good way, is to remember, this is not my home. I'm just here for a while. And enjoy the blessings that the Lord has given you. But when the Lord taketh away, be just as thankful. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He says, let us watch and be sober. And then verse 7, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. In other words, when we get in those conditions of sleep and we're drunken, we're not sober, we're not watching, we're not awake, well, we're involved in the night. We're away from the light. We're not close to the light. We want to be close to the light. We want to walk in the day. We are the children of the day. He says, but let us who are of the day, hear that, who are of the day, be what? Sober. And when you're sober, what do you do? Putting on the breastplate of love, of faith and love. There's your faith. Put on the breastplate of faith. Now, faith is a gift of God, but you and I need to put it on. We need to wear it. I need to exercise it. I need to believe. And I also have been given love, the gift of love. Well, I need to love. He tells us, even though He's given us love, He tells us to love one another. You know why? Because sometimes you and I don't exercise that love towards one another. And if you have faith, you automatically have love. And if you have love, you automatically have faith. That is an interwoven breastplate that's given to you of faith and love. And it's actually the breastplate of righteousness. The only way to walk righteously before God in this world is to walk in faith and in love. The Bible says it very clearly. Whatsoever is not of faith, it is sin. And whatsoever is without love or charity, it's a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, it profiteth nothing. In order to please God, you and I tonight, in order to please God, in order to be wearing the breastplate of righteousness, which by the way is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it is, it's part of that armor, the Lord Jesus Christ, is to be walking in faith and in love, and we put on the breastplate, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And then verse 9 says, for God has not appointed us to wrath. Oh, I'm so glad that's here. For God has not appointed us to wrath. Good old Baptist language. Better yet, Bible language that old Baptists have held and contended for down through the years. I pray we'll continue here and hold to it. For God has not appointed us to wrath. Who? Not a child of the day is appointed to wrath. Sometimes the children of the day wake. Sometimes they are asleep. But whether they wake or sleep, they are never appointed for wrath. Which means the ultimate wrath that's going to be poured out and would be ours. Listen, are we deserving of wrath? Absolutely. Have we merited wrath? Yes. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Get this, verse 10. Who died for us? How did we get salvation? Because we walked in the day or we didn't walk in the night? No. He died for us that whether, get this, whether we wake or sleep. Now He's just told us to not be asleep, right? He's told us to be awake. But whether we wake or sleep, He's not saying it doesn't make any difference, but He's saying your eternal salvation is not dependent on that. He said whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Ultimately, every little child of grace is going to be at home with his Savior. Not one of them will be lost. So in the meantime, somebody might say, well, then it doesn't matter how I live. See, that's the licentious part of this we want to make sure we avoid and miss. And by the way, the Apostle Paul was accused of preaching a licentious doctrine by those. He must have preached that salvation was completed by the grace of God and that you were secure in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they said unto him, well, if that be the case, then let's sin so that grace, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. What he's saying is, listen, children of the day, walk in the day. He said, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. I say that to you tonight, especially those of you who are here on a Saturday night. Thank the Lord you're here. And I believe He's commending them, but He's not bragging on them. He's saying, I'm thankful for you, but He's also recognizing without the grace of God, there wouldn't be any of you here tonight. Without the grace of God, I know that. And I certainly wouldn't be here even making an effort to speak in His name. He said, wherefore, because of the wonderful grace of God, we're to comfort ourselves together. That's what we're here for tonight. I need some comfort, don't you? That's why I come to church. I come to church because I need some comfort. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you. I want us to be more mindful. I want us to be more mindful how we act and talk and behave and live. Not in order to get to be God's children, but because we are and what He's done for us. And we're to edify one another, and that means to help one another, not to hurt one another. We're there to help one another. And then He goes on and says, even as also ye do, which means what I've said to you tonight, I see you doing it. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for your prayers for one another. I'm thankful for your trust in the grace of Almighty God. I believe tonight you understand that without His salvation that was for you, you'd have no salvation. Without His shed blood on the cross, you'd have no hope. And without Him giving you the strength that you need for living, you wouldn't have it. And because He's given it to you, you want to live in a way to honor and glorify Him and do that better and better until He comes again, which He's going to do. And that's sooner than it used to be. We don't know when he's coming. We don't know the day or the hour. But I'm telling you, it's closer than it's ever been before. And what a great, great blessing that is. He says, and we'll go back over to Jeremiah just in closing. He said in Jeremiah 6, he says, "Ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein," and I love the promise, "and ye shall find," hear this, you won't get it rest because of it, but you'll find rest. In the good path is rest for your soul. Hear that? Some people said if you do what the Lord tells you, He'll give you rest. Well, if you do what the Lord tells you, you'll have rest in doing it. Because the rest is already there. It's not like you do it and you get that, you know, like I got something for it. It's like as you do it, you'll find the rest He's given you. Do y'all believe He's given us rest in this world? I do. And I believe as we walk in that and what He's told us to do, we'll find rest. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." But then He says, "Take my yoke upon you." Isn't that asking for the old path? "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." That means the old path. Find the old path and walk there. And ye shall what? Here's the same language. "And you'll find rest unto your souls." And they said, God's little children, may we not do that. We will not walk therein. "Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet." There's your ministry. That's what the minister's supposed to do. They're supposed to blow the trumpet. They're supposed to make the joyful sound. They're to declare it. "Hearken to the sound of the trumpet." But they said, "We will not hearken." May the Lord bless us to have many faithful ministers that come and visit with us here at Happy Creek. But may we also be committed to listen to what they say. And as they reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, and they have a thus saith the word for what they say, may we never say, "We will not walk therein." God's children have done that to their own detriment. May we be found as those who say, "Lord, teach us thy way and thy word, and Lord, may that be our desire, committed to follow thee, seeking that straight and narrow way which leadeth unto life." There's life that God's little children find in this world that's a life abundant, that, you know, that we find and experience as we walk in the blessings of Almighty God as He directs us here in this world. I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.